what investing with purpose is truly all about is what is it that you're building? Yes, it's important to make income. Yes, it's important to have an inheritance for your children and your children's children, but it's also about impact and influence for the people that can't get it any other way.
Welcome to the Investing with Purpose podcast, where we discuss investing for generational wealth creation and how that intersects with the purpose of your life. We're going to give actionable steps to investing from our experience buying hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate, and also hearing from other amazing entrepreneurs that use the fruits of their business to give back and make an impact. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to the Investing with Purpose podcast. My name is Steven. I'm your host. It's the inaugural episode. I'm super excited. You've listened to 250 episodes of Free from Wall Street. We've been talking about how to avoid the volatility of the stock market while creating, preserving, and passing on generational wealth to you and your family. And now we're going to integrate what really the purpose behind our business is, which is how do we create impact through these businesses? God gave us this business. We love this business. We're growing and scaling. We're helping you invest in non-market correlated assets. But now we want to talk about how can we take that income that we're creating and make an impact in the world? How can we literally invest with purpose? So today we have four people on the podcast. Travis Cotter, my business partner, which you hear about him. He's rarely seen, rarely heard from, but that's because he's grinding on your behalf. And then today we have our new partners, the Benham brothers, Jason and David. Welcome, guys.
Thanks. Love being here, brother.
You've got like this perfect podcast voice.
He does.
Just sitting there listening to
you. And you know what I love is that I'm able to sit so close to him right now.
He touched my leg. Okay,
kill me. It's getting hot here.
See, I got Travis next to me, and he's got a nice little cozy flannel on.
He does. Great.
So we're out here hanging out with the boys, talking about how we're expanding the business, how we're doing the next level of things. But really, it's why I wanted to have you guys on this first episode is because we're really talking about how are we using our businesses to impact the purpose that we have for ourselves, for what God has called us to do. And I just couldn't think of a better episode than having you guys come on. You've been in business. You've had 13 businesses.
Yes, 15.
15.
Come on, dude.
15 businesses.
Dude, you shorted us too. Are you kidding me?
How can you do that?
It's not my job to keep track. You guys are out pushing purpose, talking about what your purpose is. So what we're going to be doing on the show in the future is we're going to be talking about the stuff that we have been talking about. How do we do passive income? How do we pay less in taxes?
Yeah.
How do we create generational wealth? But then we're going to have guests like you on, and we're going to talk about how did you use your businesses to create impact for what you wanted to create impact for?
Yes.
So let's start there. Where did you guys start in terms of business ownership, entrepreneurship? And then at what point did you start to recognize that, hey, this could be a tool?
Now, I know Jason wants to start, but Jason, are you going to start with vision first?
No. Well, yeah, I was going to start with a little bit of a story, a little bit of an analogy that actually was the thing that David and I thought of as we began our first business back in 2003. If you were in 1942 Nazi Germany and you're a Christian business owner and business is booming, what would have been your moral responsibility at that time? Okay, so now let's just back up for a second. Let's think about that. You're a Christian business owner, business is booming, you're in Nazi Germany, and then you're out golfing with three other dudes and you guys are trying to put a deal together. And so you're out there on the links and you're about to tee off and you look and there's smoke coming up from over one of the hills. Now, the place where you're playing is close to this recreation facility, or so you were told, called Auschwitz. And so in your mind, it's like, hey, that's where all the people who are Jewish, they're going to, you know, spend their vacations or whatever. But then you see smoke coming up from over the hill and you end up grabbing your golf cart and you go driving around there and you want to see what it's all about. And all of a sudden you look and you see these ditches, you know, surrounded by this barbed wire fence, and you see shoes. Then the other ditch, you see clothes. In the other ditch, you see gold teeth and all sorts of stuff. And then in another ditch, to your horror, you see bones. And then you discover that that's not a recreation facility. That's actually a concentration camp. Now, just stop there for a second. You're a business owner and business is booming. What's your moral responsibility at that point? Is it to ink the deal? Is it to call your assistant and say, hey, book us at the Chop House tonight so we make sure that we get reservations? No. Now, all those things are good. But in that moment, all of a sudden, now business is not what's most important. You recognize I need to use my business for impact. I need to do something about what's going on in the world, because now what I've just discovered is really bad. And so that's kind of the vision that David and I had when we first started our business. Like, if we were back in Nazi Germany and our business does do well, what do we want it to accomplish? That's what began to fuel David and I to take our income from our businesses and leverage it for impact. And the only way that you can do that, here's another I word, is to invest. We had to take our income, we had to invest it so that it would grow big, big, big passively, and then using that for impact. And that's exactly what we did for the last 20 years.
You know, if I let me jump in real quick and just talk about, so Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a very famous, courageous pastor back in Nazi Germany. And quite often we don't hear about wealthy business owners in Nazi Germany. We hear about those that were courageous, that stood against the regime. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, he said, it's not enough to help hurting people. You must also stop the things that hurt them. So with our business, we have to understand, is my business in the lane of helping hurting people? Or is my business also in the lane, or maybe a different lane, of stopping the things that hurt them? So Jason and I specific wanted to, when we got into business, we said, you know what? We want to step in and help these mothers who are facing unplanned pregnancies. And we want to step in and help them and create an organization. And we did, and we funded it. And that organization, since we started, has seen almost 6,000 mothers not only choose life in an unplanned pregnancy, which is a very difficult situation for them, but we throw baby showers and we work with other entrepreneurs and have an interwoven network called Love Life now that it's grown into, that has mentor families that come alongside these moms. And it's just so amazing to watch that, that it's our responsibility. But it all started with vision. Like, for instance, if I were to just kind of give you an example of three men are mixing concrete, and you walk up to the first guy, and like, they're mixing concrete the old school way, the way we used to have to do it when we were boys, where you had to put the quickcrete in the wheelbarrow and then you put some water in it and you take a shovel and you start mixing it, and it's always hot and it's heavy, and so it's very difficult. So you walk up to the first guy and you say, what are you doing? And he says, I'm mixing concrete. Well, that's fine. I mean, he knows what he's doing. If we think about our business or even about investing, what are you doing? Well, I'm investing. Well, what's the purpose of investing? Well, I'm going to make some money. Okay, well, that's great. It's good. But then you walk up to the second guy and you say, well, what are you doing? And he stops and he points behind him and says, I'm building a building. Now, that's cool. At least, you know, he knows kind of what he's doing. He's like, what are you doing? Well, I'm investing. Well, why? Because I want an inheritance for my children's children. Oh, well, that's awesome. That's investing with some purpose. Mm-hmm. But I think it goes beyond that, because now you go to the third guy and you say, what are you doing? And he stops. And with tears in his eyes, he points behind him and says, I'm building an orphanage that's going to house young kids that are marginalized and have no family. And it's going to put destiny and hope in their lives and change their lives forever. Now, all of a sudden, who do you think is going to last through the heat and the blisters and the difficulties? It's that man. That's really what investing with purpose is truly all about, is really, what is it that you're building? Yes, it's important to make income. Yes, it's important to have an inheritance for your children and your children's children. That's a good thing. We should do that. But it's also about impact and influence for the people that can't get it any other way. And not only helping needing people and hurting people, but also stopping the things that hurt them, which is why we've used our companies to really lever in to even some of these politically incorrect situations, to where people are like, well, what are you supposed to do, you know, about these mothers and choosing life and all this other stuff? And Jason and I are like, well, no, we'll step into that. And we want to help these moms. And we've done many other things. We did another one in Southeast Asia. And here, I'll let you talk here for a second, but maybe I can talk about that in a little bit.
Maybe we should let Steve talk.
Steve, do you want to say anything?
And maybe Travis should talk.
No, I like Travis. You guys having me on your podcast. That's so good. No, so that's all really good stuff. And we talk about this a lot, because moving from success to significance, I feel like business owners always get to a place where it's like, okay, so I have the house, I have the cars, I have the stuff that I want for my kids, and maybe they have more means than they ever thought that they would, right? And they're happy about that. But every time, without fail, I find out that if they're not doing something purposeful, if they're not moving from success to significance in their lives, they still are left wanting something else. And that hole, like, it exists in all of us. And I feel like even through the genesis of our business, it's been, hey, we know that we want to do this, but let's be real. When we started our business, we wanted to make a paycheck.
Yeah, and that's important.
Survival. Right? It was survival mode.
That's right.
It was, how do I make sure that the mortgage payment gets paid? And then we had kids, and then how do I make the car payments and whatever? But the goal of the business was always to grow it and scale it to be something that we could leverage to do good stuff, right? So these guys are talking about good stuff. Anything you want to add to that, Trav?
I think everything that you're saying speaks into what we're trying to accomplish in our lives and through our business. I think everything that we've done so far has been, I like to say, with a purpose. But at the end of the day, when you look at the work that goes into the business on a daily basis, like you brought up with calluses on your hands from mixing the concrete, it helps push you through to the next level of perseverance.
That's right.
It goes back to your why, right? We always talk when we're teaching other entrepreneurs things, it's like, you have to start with a vision and a mission and a why. Yeah. If you don't know what your why is, when things get hard, and they will, you have no fight in you left. Right. Mm. If it's your purpose, if it's your mission, if it's your why, if you're building an orphanage, right? That's the middle of the day heat that you're gonna have to push through.
That's right.
If I'm just mixing some concrete, like, man, I'm probably gonna go slower, maybe take a little water break. But if the why is bigger than me,
that's right,
bigger than all of us, then you really do start to push through that, right? And that's what we're here to encourage you guys to do, is how do you find your why, right? Tactical, practical ways to look at what your business can accomplish and why you want to accomplish those things, right? We always talk about an inheritance is what you leave. A legacy is who you leave it in. Your legacy, when you get talked about at your funeral, right?
Yeah.
You're going to stand up and they're going to say, what? He was a great business owner? Yeah. I mean, that's not what I'm looking for. Maybe some people are, and that's fine. But for me, it goes beyond that. And it's evolving. I think that that's what's an important piece too is, hey, maybe you don't know what that is. But maybe you're starting to explore it and starting to realize that there are some other things that we have to look at. What excites me? What am I passionate about? What can I bring my family along on the journey with to help, to give, to do things? So anyway, great points.
I want to give something very practical to your listeners that'll really help them. And David and I talk about this in one of our books, but we talk about the power of vision and mission, you know, and for us, the way that we understand it, because I know a lot of people say it different ways, but vision is your what, mission is your why. And we like to teach people how to write one sentence. I want to blank, fill in whatever your vision would be, so that blank, and that's your mission, fill in your why. So I want to what, so that why. For me and David, when we first started our business, one of our things was we want to be financially free. Okay. So that was passive income exceeding your living expenses. So we want to be financially free so that, and specific for me and him, it was to write books and to speak. And by God's grace, we got that. You know, but we were financially free by 33. Now we're 47. So we were able to get it in short order. And we totally know how to help people do that. And so it's the so that statement. So if you're driving your car right now, you're going to have to press pause at some point, pull over, write that down, or go home, listen to this again. I want to, and then just draw a blank, and then put in real big, all caps, so that, and then draw another blank. So that, you know, so I want to blank so that I can blank.
And the key is that the so that is what gives you the perseverance.
So that. That's the why.
You just never drop the so that.
Yep.
And you know, as long as you've got that, you're going to push through.
And this is the second part of what I wanted to say, because, you know, a lot of people come into funds a number of different ways. Let's just say two different ways. The first is if you're going to start the fund, which is what Travis and Steve did, right? The other way is if you want to invest in a fund. Okay, so I obviously have invested in funds before. I've never started a fund, but there was a very critical third way that I didn't even know existed. But because you two were operating according to your why, which is investing with purpose, it brought David and I into your fund, and now we're partners in the fund. And so it goes like this. 2 years ago, on a phone call with Steve, and Steve's talking with me, and he's telling me, or we were on a Zoom, he's telling me, hey, so we've got this, you know, real estate syndication. I don't know if you had a fund at that point. I'm not sure you had a fund, but you had a deal and you said, hey, we're doing this big deal. It's like $15, $20 million. And I know you guys have like a charity. And what I've done, me and Travis, my business partner, and this is when we were first getting back into looking at investing in your stuff. You said, what we're doing is we're wrapping in a charity into each of our deals, so that the deal is legally written into it, so that the charity will get a passive income check every single month from this particular deal. That blew my mind. I'm like, people don't do that. So that's what opened the heart. And David and I ultimately have, you know, been watching, and now we get an opportunity to come into your fund because of that heart. So when you lead with your why, it attracts other people to you that also have the same why.
Absolutely.
And you guys weren't thinking about, hey, I got to try to get the Benham Brothers in. We want to do this. Or you weren't thinking about any of that. You're like, hey, we want to bless one of their charities. Great. Well, what happened when you did that? you're focused on God's thing, and in return, he's focused on your thing. And then he pulls us into your business, and now we're telling everybody about the awesome fund that we've got here at Integrity Holding.
Yeah, it was pretty cool when we first, so, you know, we just came through this, heard this on the podcast before, where we've talked about a donor advised fund that's now wrapped into many charities, mm-hmm. It's wrapped into every deal. But in the beginning, we were just like, hey, how do we give more abundantly now before we get quote unquote there? And it was pretty clear. Well, just start now, right? Grow in the grace of giving. Let's do 1% of the economic benefit of this deal to a charity.
That's great.
Okay, cool. We can do that. The next deal was 2%. The next deal was 3%. The next deal was 5%, right? Now we're up to 10%. Mm. And when you're doing $60 million deals, it adds up.
It does.
That's amazing.
And we get to make a pretty critical impact on these nonprofits moving forward. And now we're encouraging other entrepreneurs and other investors to do the same type of thing. Hey, come partner with us. We'll take care of the logistics and the bottleneck of what it looks like to give that money away and the tax
burden, implications.
The things at the end of the year that I always throw away that are like my tax giving receipts whatever. So now we take care of all of that through our donor advised fund. And it has really opened up a lot of relationships. And Seth Godin talks about this in This Is Marketing and Finding Your Tribe. Mm. He always talks about, like, you have to understand what your why is, and you can't fake it. You can't strategically fake your why so that relationships will come in.
That's right? Good.
Authenticity is felt. People understand that if you're being authentic, then over time it will reveal yourself if it's not.
Yeah.
And then if you really believe the same things as other people, right? Or if you have the same heart. I mean, so the types of charities that we give to are all over the map. Mm. Some of our investors don't agree with all of the charities that we give to, but you know what? They don't even care, most of them, mm-hmm. because they know that this is happening in every business anyway. We're just super transparent about it.
Yeah.
We just put it on the website and say, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they like the fact that we are doing something. We're not just sitting back and making money and buying Bentleys.
Yeah.
We're doing something to impact people in a positive way.
You know, it's interesting, Jason and I, so in 2010, this is back during the economic meltdown here in America, the housing collapse. And so we had heard a statistic that about 600 missionaries were coming off the field a month because Western funding was drying up. And so what he and I decided to do, we said, okay, what can we give to some of these missions organizations? And while we were sitting there thinking it through, we felt really impressed on our heart. Well, why don't you just start a company and then just donate all the money? And so I thought, So we took a couple hundred thousand over a period of a few months, and we began to sow it in, and we found a couple of missionaries that were really hurting in Southeast Asia. And we said, hey, listen, if we started a company over there, would you run the company for us, or at least get it up off the ground? And so long story short is we started a business process outsourcing company. We had about 60 employees. Our missionary that we had hired, we actually called him a missioneer. So it's the combination of an engineer who's pioneering something and then also with a missions heartbeat. And he's like, I cannot believe I've done more ministry in the last 6 months here in the marketplace with all these employees and then all of our vendors and contractors. And because we were teaching them about everything, we were really just servicing one of our companies back here in the States. And so as a result of that, it attracted an Indian company called Flat World Solutions, and they flew in town, met with us and said, listen, we're really good at operations. We see what you guys are doing because we're recirculating the profits. And they had heard about us through another missions organization. And so they took over. They said, we'd like to merge with you guys and take over. We took over operations, and we are now at almost 1,500 employees. Wow. And it has been amazing. And we don't take a dime from it. So instead of taking $200,000 and giving it to a missions organization, which is great, you got to do stuff like that at times, or $1,000 or $10 a month, whatever it is that you can give. But in this particular area, we took the $200, put it into a business, and that business has now recirculated profits and thrown off feeding programs. And I mean, it's just been amazing. And so why I say that is that was one of the most attractive things that Jason and I found about Integrity Holdings Group, is that you guys are basically saying, hey, invest with us. And even you getting a return on your investment, we're not pulling the giving out of your fund or out of your return. We're pulling it out of ours. And that's where we were like, okay, these dudes are the real power.
Deal. Hmm. You're taking some serious money. And there are a lot of people that are saying, hey, I would like to, you know, give $10,000, or I would like to give $5,000 or whatever. If you just kind of pool that money up together, and once you become an accredited investor, you jump right into a fund like this. And now it's like, wow, not only am I getting a return on investment, but I'm actually donating through this company as well. That's double deposits.
I think that that thing's just going to take off to the moon.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like nonprofit syndication.
Yeah, that's good.
The more people that we get in, the more that we can do, the more impact that we can make. We're certainly finding our tribe in that, right? I mean, we have hundreds of investors now that have joined us, and you know, 96% reinvestment rate.
So that's intense.
I mean, I think the returns speak for themselves, but I think the heart behind it is really, it really grabs people. It's a good story. Every month when we send out CapEx photos, it's like, here's a drone video of a property we just bought. Here's a before and after of a CapEx that we did inside of an apartment. Oh, and these 15 girls got saved out of a Ukrainian basement by a special forces team that we, that you helped fund.
Yeah.
Come on. Cool. That's baller. That right there makes that, that'll make us like throw even
and
more
you know,
money
in. You know what though? I could see Travis going and being a part of that
squad
that went in and rescued those people.
I appreciate that. But
you got it.
They're a lot braver than me.
Those guys are great. Cool. So listen, I mean, this stuff is amazing. Usually we run a little bit like 10 to 12 minutes. So I don't want our listeners to get bored with this amazing content, but let's talk a little bit about where you see the future of entrepreneurship and how it ties into the impact that people want to make. Because I love the fact that you guys talk about how entrepreneurship and impact is interwoven together. You see the change of all good change being predicated, not necessarily by what you would think would be the tip of the spear, but by entrepreneurs. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you go ahead, Dave.
Okay, I was just going to say, if you drive through any city in the country, for the most part, especially on the East Coast, the early cities, you'll look at the hospitals, you'll look at the community centers, and you'll look at just a lot of these organizations. They were started, whether it be the church or other people, but it was entrepreneurs that were funding these things. There were a couple of very wealthy entrepreneurs in the early Americas in the early 1800s, Arthur and Lewis Tappan, and they actually started an organization that later became Dun and Bradstreet. They started the New York Journal of Commerce. They
heard of them.
Yeah, they were the first. They were the guys that started the first commercial credit rating agency and fixed pricing and all these things. They were phenomenal. But they also recognized, hey, our cities really need some help and our communities really need some help and we need schools and we need all these other things. So these guys helped to organize what was later known as the Benevolent Empire. And that was just an interwoven connection of marketplace entrepreneurs and churches and ministry organizations that really did amazing things in this country. So it's really the backbone. And these entrepreneurs, I mean, we're generating resources. We're doing what God put us in the earth to do, and that is to cultivate. When he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, he told him to cultivate the ground. That means to acquire and to develop. Like get into the ground, acquire resources and develop them. And that's what we do in the marketplace. We acquire and develop. And what are we trying to do? We are trying to meet needs. People have problems and we can solve them and we can meet their needs. And then the root of it is to minister, which means to serve. And so when we serve in the marketplace and we acquire and develop resources so that we can serve people, meet their needs, we begin to build community, and it is literally the backbone of this country, which is why we have to stand and we have to be very vocal when it comes to our governance. We have to be very vocal when it comes to who we are electing, because if you stifle the entrepreneurs, if you stifle the marketplace, then we don't have near the same ingenuity and freedom. You go to other countries, just go to Syria, go to North Korea. I mean, go to some of these other countries, Venezuela. They don't have the same, Cuba. They don't have the same freedom over the marketplace that we have. Mm-hmm. Look at what happens. It's just births in us. It's ingenuity. It's all of these amazing things. And as I mentioned, our Indian business partner in Southeast Asia, he said to us, he said, we're going to come in and we're going to take over operations, but we need you and your brother to keep dreaming. And he said, because as Indians, we're really good with process. But as Americans, you guys have been free your whole life to dream because the sky is the limit in America.
Yeah.
And that really made me so proud of my country. It's like, I was so thankful my granddad got shot down in the Pacific in World War II and he was saved, but thank God he parachuted into the ocean. I'm like, that's why I'm sitting here as a successful entrepreneur, because my granddad was willing to take the heat against Japan, right? Those in the past have been willing to stand for this country. So it's pretty awesome. I couldn't say enough about entrepreneurship and how important it is to make impact. The reason why we are here today is because we have marketplace folks.
And I think it goes maybe even one step deeper. What's the famous verse? Ezekiel 22.
Yes.
Behold, I look for a man who would stand in the gap on behalf of the land, but I could find none. And so you think about a gap stander. You know, we all want to be the gap stander. We want to be the people that would stand to where we can become a bridge between God and the people who are disconnected from Him, right? An entrepreneur is that by nature. We're gap standers, because if you think about the entrepreneur, what they do is you've got people like customers who have problems, and what the entrepreneur does is he slides in between and brings solutions. So he's a gap stander by nature. He bridges the gap between people and their problems so that they can have solutions for those things. And the word entrepreneur, entre, comes from a Latin term that means to go between. And prende comes from a French word that means to undertake. So what an entrepreneur does by nature is they go between and they establish an undertaking in order to bridge people. So David and I would say that the entrepreneur is God's answer to bridge the gap between himself and the world that's disconnected. Now, obviously, all believers have a responsibility to be a gap stander, but specific to an entrepreneur, we're the people that go in and create solutions to people's problems. And those solutions can, if you meet the need the customer is paying you for, it opens a door for you to meet the need the customer's not paying you for, a need that they probably don't even know that they have. So that is a biblical foundation for why entrepreneurs are the answer to today's problems.
Yeah, I hope it's encouraging to you. If you're not even an entrepreneur, you're a W-2 investor and you're looking to, how do I expand my giving? How do I expand my impact in the world? Then look, if it sounds kind of like too much, you don't want to do it, that's fine. Come partner with us. Go to investingwithpurpose.org. You can donate directly to our donor advised fund. You'll get tax receipts from it. We'll take care of the rest. If you just want to partner with us, you can go there. If you want to learn how to do that, just click the contact button. You can reach out to us. If you're an entrepreneur and you want to be kind of walked through the process of how to do a donor advised fund and where you can start, it's easy, it's simple, and you can start today. You don't need to start with a big dollar amount, right? But as entrepreneurs, I feel like we understand that there's a duty, there's a call to help our fellow man. We knew that when we started a business, right? We knew that we were going to create a solution that was going to help our counterparts in the world. Now this is just taking it a step further and being more intentional about it. So anyway, David, Jason, awesome having you guys here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having us, bud.
Trav, any parting shots?
Just be bold.
Yes.
Everybody out there.
Like that. All right. Thanks for listening to the Investing with Purpose podcast. We'll see you next time. See you.
Thanks for listening to the Investing with Purpose podcast. If you're finding value, can you please subscribe, leave us a review? And if you want to learn more, go to investingwithpurpose.org to learn more about our donor advised fund and the charities that we support around the world.